Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to part two of Ed Gamble's Moon Underwater, his dream pub furbishment. I am John Robbins, landlord of the Moon Underwater, and here with me is the lovely Robin Allender, the fantastic Ed Gamble, star of stage and screen, judge on The Great British Menu, co-host off menu, host, Taskmaster podcast, Taskmaster appearee. He's all over the shop.
Champion,
Taskmaster, and a comedian par excellence in his own right. Also, an expert on death metal, thrash metal, sludge metal, groove metal, metalwork, and all different types of metal.
I only recently discovered that there's a genre of metal called djent, D-J-E-N-T, because that's the noise the palm mute make, djent, 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 like that. That's quite a nice subgenre.
It is a nice subgenre. I'm not too au fait with djent. I mean, I guess the archetype of the djent band who started it all, the Meshuggah, who are fantastic. But apart from that, I'm not really too au fait with djent.
Djent.
I sometimes play at Megadeth's Hangar 18 when I'm having a particularly loud toilet. Play it on really, my phone.
It really speeds up, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
The song.
Yeah. It gets quite frenetic.
That's a good thing about iPhones. You can take your smothering sounds with you. Anyway, you join us as we are strung out on some financial hooks oh so tenter, because the lovely Robin Allender set us a pub quiz about money. Robin.
Money. Yes, this week's quiz was all about money or financial services and when they were introduced. So question one was, when was chip and pin introduced in the UK, Ed?
I struggle with this. It was certainly within my memory, because I seem to remember, didn't Mitchell and Webb do the advertising campaign? Didn't they play they played a double act called Chip and Pin, who used to be with two other double act partners. This was a sketch they did. It wasn't the advertising campaign, that was Apple, wasn't it?
Right.
But they did a sketch where they played a double act who used to be with two other double act partners, called Fish and Cushion. So it's Fish and Chip and Pin and Cushion, and they get together and think, oh well, Chip and Pin, well that's obviously, we're going to be so famous, and then Fish and Cushion are the ones who get massive.
That's very good.
So I'm bearing in mind when that sketch would have been, I'm going to go 2005.
Okay,
might be
John?
Too soon.
I've gone 2004.
Ed has it, it's because it's 2006.
Ah!
The year of the Dyson Airblade as well, also introduced in 2006.
What a time to be British.
Yeah, indeed.
They tested chip and pin in Swindon, where they experiment with a lot of those things.
Really?
Yeah, same with the Magic Roundabout. That's why the Magic Roundabout's in the Magic Roundabout, do you know? There's one roundabout and then loads of mini roundabouts around it.
Looks like a flower.
Yeah, and they were trying that out in Swindon to see if it worked, and it didn't. So it's just in Swindon.
Well, everyone just crashed into each other. Yeah. And like, oh,
but
God.
It's still in Swindon.
Yeah. Crikey. Question two was, when was the first plastic credit card introduced? Ed, what do you think?
I've got no idea. Before my lifetime, I guess. So I've gone with 81.
81. John?
I've gone 68.
Ooh. John has it there because it was 1959.
Wow!
Holy crisps.
American Express. 1959. So level pegging for the last question. When were ISAs, individual savings accounts, to you and I, introduced, and what was the original cash limit? A question that screams John Robbins. Ed, what do you think?
I mean, I've got no clue whatsoever. I've gone 1974, and I've gone 1,200 quid.
Oh, Ed! Oh my God!
I literally have no idea. And there's been loads of years.
I don't think I've got the year right.
Okay.
I think the year was 2007. And I think the limit was $5,000.
It was 1999.
Christ! No way!
And the limit was 3,000.
You still won
that, though. Got closest.
Yeah, I feel good about myself.
Wow, don't worry about it. If it's any comfort, 2007... No, it was still 3,000 then, so you didn't get that right either. So no comfort. Cold comfort there for John.
Well, I said 1974. I feel great about myself.
Yeah, I should have done a metal subgenre quiz, actually, though. That would have been... Ed would have smashed
really?
It.
Yeah.
Well, money's made of metal.
Some of it.
It is. Anyway, we're now going to head back to Ed Gamble's fantasy pub. Ed, before we get into your spirit choices, I want to get a feel for your early pubbings. Pubs of your youth of your pubs. Talk to me about your early pubs.
Early pubs. First pub with friends would have, I think we were getting into pubs, maybe finding the right pubs when we were 14.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, we were a good group of friends at honing in on the places that didn't care. So the Railway Tavern, which is no longer there, in Putney, which was a Wetherspoons in Putney, it was like a 3-floor Wetherspoons. So you could sort of sneak in and just hide in a corner. We used to go there every Friday, and then we'd go from there. This was when we were a bit older. Go from there over to Wimbledon Village and go to Finch's, which was like a late license pub bar. But we'd also used to go to, in Wimbledon Village, because I went to school in Wimbledon, the King of Denmark, which is no longer there, because that let us drink in school uniform. Like, that was
what?
That was really bad.
Yeah.
I think we're probably the last generation that could have had that experience at 18. Do you think?
I think so.
I remember going into the pub in Thornbury on a Friday night, and like the teachers were there, and we were getting drunk with the teachers. That's mad when you think about it now.
We couldn't quite get away with that. In fact, I think there was one we finished the term and we all went to the King of Denmark and we're drinking pints in our school uniform and playing darts and stuff. And a teacher came in and was like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Like, obviously. Yeah. But those were the early pubs were all sort of Wimbledon, Southwest London based, and young drinking. I never really appreciated pubs, really. It was just anywhere that would serve you.
But you went to uni in a great pub city, didn't you, in Durham?
In Durham, and I'm going to really let you down and say that we used to regularly go to some pretty awful pubs, like Chain, Hogshead, Varsity, in the most beautiful city you could possibly imagine. In cobbled streets, we'd go to Varsity.
Well, youth is wasted on the young, isn't it? I mean, when I was a student, I drank almost exclusively Orange WKD.
Yeah.
And what college were you at, Ed?
I was at Hatfield College in Durham.
Because all of my family went to Durham apart from me.
Mm.
But we used to holiday there every year for 12 years because, I don't know why, because we didn't have much money and my mum didn't like flying. But I have to say Durham holds a remarkable place in my mind's eye, but I never really pubbed there because I was a kid, you know, looking around the cathedral for the seventh time.
I've been back there on tour, and whenever I've been back there, I think I now will pop into the pubs that I probably should have gone to when I was a student there. The sort of places where postgrads drink and professors are having a pint. So there's an amazing pub called the Dun Cow in Durham, and another lovely pub that I used to go to now and again as a student called the Victoria.
Yes, the Victoria's brilliant. That was one of my dad's favourite pubs.
I lived next door to the Victoria pretty much, or so, like two doors down. And it's a phenomenal pub with, you know, all the brass. It's got all the like the brass fittings and stuff. And the walls are covered with pictures of people who go to the Victoria, including a picture of the man who played Kevin Webster in Coronation Street.
All the hits.
So what would you want your pub to look like, Ed?
Oh, nothing like that. Heavy metal posters everywhere. I like a small pub, but dark. And not grimy, but like the feeling of grime. It could be grimy.
So they've cleaned the floor, but not right up to the edges. They've not lifted anything up to clean the floor.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, my favourite places I've ever drunk are there. There was a bar I went to in Japan, in Tokyo, in the Golden Guy, which is where they have, it's just bar, but like really rammed up against each other. And most of them seat like 12 people, 6 to 12 people.
Wow.
And there's a metal bar there called Deathmatch in Hell, which seats 8 people. It's covered in horror memorabilia. There's about 8 TVs, tiny TV screens, all showing different horror films. The man who runs it is called Wayne. Everyone knows him as Wayne because he wears a Wayne's World hat. And all of the drinks cost 666 yen. And he must be losing money because that's a crazy... For most things, that's too little. They play punishingly loud heavy metal. And there's the Black Heart in Camden, which is another fantastic metal pub. Like I really like places like that.
There's the Griffin in Bristol. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a really good metal pub.
I really like the Griffin in Bristol. Mm. It's really nice.
Did you ever go to the Hatchet in Bristol in its heyday when it was a sort of metal goth pub? It's where I did my first gig. And it's one of the oldest pubs in Bristol, and rumour has it that the front door is made of human skin.
Whose rumour was that?
I don't know where that rumour came from.
It is a persistent rumour. Yeah.
I'd love to have taken you there in 2004-05 when it was sort of... It was metal-y, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah, it was. It had that like sort of indie night, and it's definitely like the Academy across the road. Like it's a real pre-gig venue for going to see bands and things as well. Yeah,
lots of piercings and tattoos, Ed. You'd have loved it.
I like it, and I don't mind, you know, if I'm there to drink, I don't necessarily need it to be the most sort of polished fancy atmosphere.
So what I'm walking into your dream pub, am I seeing black on black on black?
No, you're seeing some red. Yeah, well, I went to a really fun bar that I've just been on honeymoon to California. And there's a lot of dive bars in America. If you're wondering what a dive bar is, I never really knew what a dive bar was. Having been to a few dive bars now, it's what Americans just mean by pub.
Mm.
You go into a dive bar and you're like, oh, this is like a nice pub. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, someone made a very good point. I can't remember. I was walking through London. Was it with you, Rob? I can't remember. But they said, we walked past a place and it said American dive bar. And this person said, if it has to say dive bar, it's not a dive bar, because it's sort of, it's being quite self-consciously ironic. It's just a bar.
Yeah.
Just a bar.
But I think we talked about this on the monthly podcast. I was in Barcelona recently and I went with a friend to a rock bar called Nevermind. And it was just so brilliant and quite kind of guileless. Like, I think in the UK... there's a tendency for things to be a bit self-conscious or maybe a bit tongue-in-cheek, but this was just a really authentic play. They're just playing really good music. It was grimy in a good way. And do you know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes that these are places that the UK doesn't do as well.
Yeah, like, I agree. I mean, the Black Heart is a really good place to go to if you want that sort of atmosphere in the UK. But we went to some amazing places in LA, like The Prince and HMS Bounty, which is like a nautical themed dive bar. It feels like you're on a ship. But just really, really good fun, but dark. I like dark. I like dark wood. I like red lights. And just, yeah, perfect.
Dark for dark business.
Yeah. What if the music's too loud, though, and you can't hear yourself talking to people? I don't think I've ever heard quiet metal music.
Well, you can. I mean, you can get it, sure. But at a certain point in the evening, I want it to be whacked up. I want to sing along, you know?
Right.
So would you be walking into... I'm assuming they're playing metal music in your dream pub. But do you want to walk in to hear it sort of at, you know, very like background metals, quite an odd concept?
Yeah, ambient metal. That probably is a genre.
It absolutely is, yeah. But there's a middle ground, right, to background and too loud. And there used to be an amazing bar in London called Crowbar, which is very sadly shut down. You guys must have... Do you remember Crowbar? It on Manette Street. It was absolutely tiny in Soho. And they would play... You'd go there late on in the evening and it would be pretty loud. But you're only going there at midnight because you want that, because you want to drink cans of Red Stripe and scream along to a Slayer song.
Yeah, I, unsurprisingly, I've not been there, Ed.
But it was one of those places that it was open so late that you'd go in there and there'd be businessmen in there who'd slightly loosen their ties.
Yeah.
I like that you've played me and recommended me some metal that almost crosses over into post-rock, which is where I think I like Metallica and Megadeth and those sort of 80s and 90s guitar noodly metal bands, but Baroness,
yeah,
I really like that because it felt like I was sort of almost could have been listening to like Mogwai at times or Tortoise or something like that. Good stuff. I like sort of mathematical metal drums.
You'd probably like the most recent Def Heaven album, I think, because that's kind of...
Yeah, that's a beautiful album. It's got a lot of post-rocky and shoegaze and yeah, that sort of element to it.
Check it out. Writing it down.
Write it down, mate.
Death Heaven.
Death Heaven. On Death 2.
Heaven.
On Death 2. Death Leopard on Death 2.
Hang on, which is it? Death Heaven?
Death Heaven. All one word, Death Heaven.
Yeah.
Death Heaven. Okay, cool. Because Death Heaven is just heaven, isn't it? Because that's where you're going to get
it. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Right, Ed, what are your two spirits, please?
Two spirits. This was easier than the wine, I'll be honest. I absolutely love gin. And there's only one gin we have in this house, and it's Harris Gin.
Ooh, I've not heard of it.
It is fantastic stuff. It's from the Isle of Harris. Scottish gin. Comes in the most beautiful bottle you've ever seen. They make it with sugar kelp. So it's got a sort of... The smell of it is a little bit nautical as well. It's seaweedy. But the taste of it is a bit citrusy as well.
The bottle looks like something the Queen Mother would drink in maybe the
40s. Well, that's what attracted me to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The bottle almost looks like it's washed up on a shore.
Mm.
I really, really like it.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful gin. I make martinis with this gin.
Oh. What are the flavour notes apart from kelp?
I mean, the kelp doesn't necessarily come too strong with the actual flavour, but the smell of it is quite kelpy. A little bit citrusy. Apparently, reading about it, it says it's juniper forward, but I don't really know what juniper tastes like outside of gin, so I couldn't,
yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Like most dry gins are juniper forward, are they? To sort of cast a net over the whole gin industry, if
yeah.
I may.
Well, it's absolutely delicious and very, like, I've had it with tonic and it's nice with tonic, but the martini is the... Making martinis at home during COVID lockdowns is the happiest I've ever been during a lockdown and also the most alcoholic I've ever felt in my life.
What's your... Talk me through your martini making.
Basically straight gin.
Right.
I use vermouth, but I wash the glass with vermouth. So tiny bit in, literally tip it round, and then I'm flicking out the rest of the vermouth.
Down the sink?
Well, a tiny bit, whatever's left.
Maybe we're not so dissimilar after all, Ed.
And then I bought a mixing glass. You do the gin into the mixing glass with ice, bar spoon, stir for 45 to 60 seconds, strain out the gin into the glass, and I put the glass in the freezer as well, and then normally a twist with a gin martini, but occasionally olives. Oh, I love it.
Okay, Harris gin is in there. What's number two?
I've been through a bourbon phase. I'm not really in it at the moment, but I'd still like to put a bourbon in, I think. Bullet is my sort of go-to bourbon, but I sort of did myself on Bullet Nish Kumar came over to my house and we decided to have some old fashions. And I think we drank a bottle of bourbon. And it was, that was bad. That was bad stuff. So,
do you know what? Like, I think the biggest contrast of drinking now I'm 40 and drinking when I was in my 20s, I could drink 6 pints in my 20s. I can drink 6 pints now. And I won't feel particularly worse the next day. I used to put away bottles of rum. If I did that now, I think I mean, and I haven't done that for a very long time. I would wake up with a sort of almost like Revelation style hangover, like the final book of the Bible type interior monologue.
Yeah.
Right.
The spirits get you, man.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the dark spirits, right? So the bullet really got me. And I guess gin gets me as well. Vodka and tequila, I think. I keep being told that tequila and soda is the best way to go on a night out. If you want to get drunk but also feel fine the next day, only drink tequila and soda, or mezcal and soda, apparently.
Very, very popular choice in the Moon Underwater, tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in the UK we're only discovering that tequila can be nice. In the last sort of 3 years.
The worst element of a spirit hangover, especially dark spirits, is knowing this is not going away after my morning cup of tea and breakfast and a trip to the old shower. This is here for the long haul. And it's going to test you. It's going to test your relationship.
I went through such a bourbon phase just trying to try all these different bourbons, and I'd have like bourbon before bed and stuff. And you're like, why are you doing that? Whenever I have a whiskey, it's normally the last drink of the night. And I'm, What are you playing at?
I know.
You're just adding to your hangover with no real benefit.
No, absolutely not.
But I remember you and, when we went to New York, you and Lloyd did a flight of bourbons in this bar. What was it called?
It was a barbecue restaurant called Fet Sau in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Fet Sau, which is just so cool and so great. I mean, as a vegetarian, I did enjoy the rolls and coleslaw. So they bring you like this, it's a metal tray and it had like pulled pork, it had brisket, it had like 4 or 5 types of meat, some rolls, some gherkins and some coleslaw. But then you and Lloyd had a flight of bourbons and there was one called Noah's Mill.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that Noah's Mill bottle has just stuck in my head, even though I can't drink whiskey and bourbon. Oh, I just don't like it.
I'd forgotten about that. And I'm going to pick a bourbon. I'm not going to pick Bullet because it knocks me sick thinking about it. But I was going to pick Blanton's, which is a fantastic bourbon. I've only ever had one bottle of it. And I had a bottle of it because when we were stuck in New York, I couldn't do a gig. And texted Ivo Graham saying, can you do this gig for me? And it was quite a decent gig. It was good money. And he said, oh, thank you so much for giving me this gig, even though he was doing me a favour. And in very typical Ivo fashion, he decided to send me a present.
Oh.
And he said, you like bourbon, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he just sent me a bottle of this Blanton's bourbon, which I'd never had before. And it was fantastic. It was really good. But Noah's Mill was also very good as well.
It's interesting because I was once asked to do a corporate for a rugby competition and I said, oh, I'm wrong for that. You should ask Mike Bubbins. And he was over the moon to be given it and said he would send me a gift and never did. must have just skipped his old mind there.
Well, no, it's just Ivo's got that Eaton thing, hasn't he? It's just, you know, that's
it's a thank you letter. It's,
no,
you know.
he made a promise. He made a verbal contract. No, but God, thank Christ I didn't take that rugby corporate. That would have been an absolute car crash.
Imagine you trying to talk about rugby.
Jesus Christ. The Noah's Mill bourbon bottle, I just think looks like one of the nicest bottles.
It was lovely as well. And I think both me and Lloyd went and bought a bottle and brought it home with us.
Yeah, it's strong though.
Are you with a bit of water or are you with ice for bourbon?
No. One or two cubes of ice, I'd say. Yeah, I think I'm drinking it pretty much straight. And bourbon, you can do that with. I think I've tried with scotch, and it's just too. I'm not a big scotch guy, but bourbon's pretty sweet anyway. And you think this is a dream pub? I should have picked something like. Have you guys heard about Pappy Van Winkle before?
No.
Which is the?
Haven't they been cancelled?
Which is the bourbon that they only make, like, you know, I don't know how many bottles, but it's a very limited amount of bottles every year, and it's so insanely popular that people sell it on the black market and stuff, and a whole load got stolen in the past, and I've tried it once before in a restaurant, and you just think, oh, it's just bourbon, really.
Yeah. I mean, Noah's Mill is 57%, so you would be watering that down with something, surely.
No, I think I was drinking that with a cube of ice. But...
Holy Moses. I mean, were you to go to like a malt whiskey place, what they called, distillery, and they were serving you a 60%, they would say you have to have this with water, wouldn't they, Rob?
I'd imagine so, yeah. I mean, that, you know, I've said before on this... with a little bit of water, just absolutely sets off the flavours in Scotch.
Yeah, I guess that's Scotch, right? But I think bourbon has such a flavour profile of, it has that sweetness and all sorts of other things going on in it. I would never pop water in that.
Yeah, I like Maker's Mark. Emma Inch chose Maker's Mark, and I got a bottle of that after she recommended it, and that is really, really nice.
So it's time to press you on a decision, Ed. What are you going for?
I'll go with the Noah's Mill. Go on, because I've not had that since. Nice. Let's do that.
Oh, Noah's Mill. I've influenced a Moon Underwater decision. 57.15% must be one of our highest ever ABVs here. But it is it was. I remember feeling that's the most I often feel like I want to get into whiskey, and I try. I have a go on it, get heartburn, pour the bottle down the sink, or give it away. But Noah's Mill, that was like, oh, I wish I was into that.
What you should do, John, is you take your U-bend out and put a big washing up bowl below the U-bend, and then at the end of the year, invite friends over and you can have it as a really mad punch.
Yeah. Oh, John's Ullage.
John's Ullage. It's revolting.
Well, dear. It's now time to head over to the sort of most refined area of the Moon Underwater. It's got green leather armchairs. You're allowed to smoke in the Moon Underwater, in certain parts of the Moon Underwater. There's a lot of pipe tobacco knocking around. Those nice old glass jars of tobacco. There's a humidor. There's a lot of books, because it's the blooming library, for goodness sake. And in there is the Robin Allender with this week's tome.
Oh, that's interesting.
Are you quite drunk, John?
Oh, we've all been there.
We've all been there. Thanks, John, and welcome to this week's Pub Library. And this week in the Pub Library, it's White Teeth by Zadie Smith.
Oh, really? Never read it. Is it good?
It's brilliant. It's very, very funny.
It's great.
It's published in 2000 when Zadie Smith was 24. She wrote it in her last year at uni at Cambridge. Isn't that mad? She was so young. And it's very, very funny.
Imagine writing a novel during your finals. What on earth? How are people so talented?
I know. It's really funny, and it's interesting, really, because it feels kind of its time now, because it's got this kind of quirkiness and kind of manic energy. It was called hysterical realism at the time, which is quite a nice phrase. But it's a very funny, multi-generational story of immigrant lives in 20th century London. And it's set in North London, notably Willesden, where Smith grew up.
Willesden Green!
Yes, indeed.
Because the lady on the tube always pronounces it with a real spring in her
yeah,
step.
She does, yeah. Willesden Green! So it features some real pubs that are sadly no longer with us. The King Lud on Ludgate Circus, which is now a Leon. And the Spotted Dog in Willesden, which is now a block of flats. But also, a lot of the action takes place in a cafe, which I believe is fictional, although correct me if I'm wrong. And it's called O'Connell's Pool House, which is described as being an Irish pool house run by Arabs with no pool tables. And this is a brilliant extract about O'Connell's, which, while it's not a pub exactly, is very pub-like in certain ways. So here we go. Finally, O'Connell's. Inevitably, O'Connell's. Simply because you could be without family in O'Connell's, without possessions or status, without past glory or future hope. You could walk through that door with nothing and be exactly the same as everybody else in there. It could be 1989 outside, or 1999, or 2009, and he could still be sitting at the counter in the V-neck he wore to your wedding in 1975, 1945, 1935. Nothing changes here. Things are only retold, remembered. That's why old men love it. It's all about time. Not just its stillness, but the pure brazen amount of it, quantity rather than quality. This is hard to explain. If only there was some equation, something like time spent here over time that I could have usefully spent elsewhere, enjoyment times masochism equals reason why I am a regular. Something to rationalize to explain why one would keep returning to the same miserable scenario. But time is what it comes down to. After you've spent a certain amount, invested so much of it in one place, your credit rating booms and you feel like you're breaking the chronological bank. You feel like staying in the place until it pays you back all the time you gave it, even if it never will.
Oh, man.
That's great. Isn't that really good about kind of... Well, yeah, about the time.
I love the pure brazen amount of it.
Yeah, and I love that equation about what makes you a regular. It's like the amount of time you've invested in the place, you know. It's very good.
Oh, that's superb.
Yeah,
oh.
When I used to work in a pub, you'd often see the regulars in there, and I don't think they were enjoying themselves.
No.
But they just had gritted teeth as if to say, I cannot leave now.
Yeah.
This is where I am.
You used to work in a pub, Ed. Tell us about the pub you used to work in.
I used to work in the Rains Park Tavern, just opposite Rains Park Station. I don't think it's a good pub, necessarily.
It's like people who used to be in Woody Allen films.
Yeah. I'll never work there again.
The landlord was very good and really cared about it, but I think just it was like a brewery pub. I can't remember the brewery, the pub itself was a little bit run down, but he did his best to maintain it. But I used to spend all my wages basically at sort of little lock-ins afterwards, where the staff would stay, and yes, you could have a drink, but most of the time you had to put it into the till. There was a real honour system. But I used to drink Guinness like water, so it would be, you know.
Was that your drink of choice back then?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely loved it.
So, White Teeth by Zadie Smith, very deserving of its place here in the Moon Underwater Pub Library. We add it to the shelves. And we continue with Ed Gamble's dream pub, and what a pub it is. So far, he has Vault City Brewing Cloudy Lemonade Session Sour, 4.2%. Michelin Nitro Coffee IPA, 6.6%. Then we move into the realm of bottles with the Margaux Chateau Cantenac Brown, 2008, at a pretty hefty £57. But it's nothing in comparison to my pick of Ed's Pops, which is the JJ Prum 1990 Riesling. Yes, please. Pour me another one, deliver one to my door, and let me glug it down with a smile on my face, because I would really, really love to taste that. But it's a tour, as my dear old friend Incognito used to describe £200. It's a tour. Then we have the quiz. That was great. And the spirits, Harris Gin from the Harris Distillery. And do you know what they do? Because I looked them up in my mind. They send you a metal refill bottle so that you can fill up your glass bottle so that it's always full. What a great idea.
They also do absolutely stunning... In fact, let me show you. They do glassware in the same sort of style as the bottle. So I've got a couple of these for gin and tonics, and I've got a couple of martini glasses that are in the same sort of fluted style as well.
Mm. Oh, and thank you so much for bringing those into the Moon Underwater, Ed.
Welcome.
And keeping them in your back pocket all this time. And Ed's second spirit was Noah's Mill, which I actually sort of steered him into, his bourbon of choice, a whopping 57% ABV, but it's a belter of a bourbon. We've got White Teeth by Zadie Smith in the library, but now we have to go to the jukebox. And Ed, I'm excited for this because I know I'm going to be introduced to something that I'm going to check out, and it's going to be something new. Unless, of course, you've gone rogue. But Ed, if you were to walk into your dream pub, what one album would you want to have access to on the JB, the Juliet Bravo?
So, obviously, we've discussed I'm a heavy metal fan. I enjoy loud rock music. In fact, I haven't even mentioned that my little display here, of I've got three bottles there of spirits just behind me. That is a Slipknot rye, a Motorhead rum, and a Great Frog Scotch, who are like a rock and roll jewellery company. I've had a bottle of the Slipknot rye before. It's now on display, the other bottle, because I don't think I want to drink any more of that, to be honest.
Have you tried the Queen vodka?
Not tried the Queen vodka. How is the Queen vodka?
The Queen vodka, well, I don't know if you can still get it. It was called Killer Queen vodka. It was absolutely great. Have you tried either of the Queen wines?
No, I've not delved into the
Have
Queen wines.
Have you tried the Queen Pilsner?
No, let's end this now. I've not tried any Queen... badged
have you,
alcohol.
Have you tried the Trooper, the Iron Maiden beer?
I have, and you know what? I like Trooper is the one that's sustained across multiple regions, right? It seems to actually...
Yeah, it's not bad, actually, Trooper.
Yeah, I like Trooper.
And it's not just at metal festivals. Like, it seems to just be in normal pubs and people drink it. Yeah,
yeah, because it's a good beer, and it sort of began that trend for bands bringing out their own booze. Fair enough. Everyone's got to make a buck. But I think Trooper actually sort of deserves its place. But what are we having on Ed Gamble's jukebox, please?
So I want to clarify, is this album I'm bringing going on the jukebox at my pub, or is it going on the jukebox at the Moon Underwater, which I'm led to believe is not my pub? That's where we are now.
The Moon Underwater is everyone's pub.
Right.
It's like the internet.
Okay.
It was given to the world freely, but you have to go into a different realm to access it, a bit like when you plug in your modem. Mm-hmm. However, the jukebox here at the Moon Underwater reflects the choices you want in your pub.
Okay.
So you're putting this album in your pub, but we host it here in the mainframe of the Moon Underwater. So it's a bit of both.
Excellent
it's a
answer.
Difficult concept there, isn't it?
I enjoyed the use of the word mainframe.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Second question: am I picking an album that would appeal to punters, or am I only picking an album that I'd enjoy in the pub?
Imagine the scene. You're in your dream pub. You're either sat at the bar watching your employees serve your regulars, or you're behind the bar. You hear the click of the jukebox, you see the number come on, you're like, yes.
Yes. But, crucially, the rest of the punters don't leave when that song comes on.
Well, no, but also, your pub is... You've described your pub as being black, red, skulls, loud music. So I very much doubt someone's going to come in expecting Ed Sheeran.
Sure. Okay. Well, because my answer for populism would have been Permission to Land by The Darkness. I think probably one of the best pub albums ever. It's wall-to-wall bangers. That's what I like about albums. Good albums. I hate it when people are like, oh, the album takes you on such a journey. No, I want the journey to be really good song at the beginning, then loads of really good songs, and then a really good song at the end. But the album I'm going to pick is a band called Clutch, who are the greatest living rock and roll band. The album is Blast Tyrant, which is a fair few albums ago for Clutch, but it's brilliant, properly American, loud, big, like stonery riffs, fantastic lyrics. They are the band I've seen most live ever, and they're brilliant. Proper sing-along, loud rock and roll music. Love it.
Nice.
So they're a metal band, right?
Well, yeah, I think rock and roll, I think, is how they describe themselves, but they got a lot of riffs.
Hmm. So is it kind of like, could you trace a path back to like ZZ Top in terms of the kind of southern rock and roll kind of element?
Definitely, they've got that element to them as well, but then sort of mixed with more of the sort of stonery California thing as well.
Caius kind of.
Yeah, like a Caius sort of desert rock thing as well. But also the lead singer, Neil Fallon, is just, I think, the best front man around at the moment, and is such an amazing performer and writes genuinely funny, weird lyrics.
Cool.
I'm actually tempted to listen to a track just because it's so out of my wheelhouse. What would be a track off Blast Tyrant I could listen to quickly now in my mind?
Good question. I've actually played you a Clutch track before, John, and you said it reminded you of Frank Zappa song.
I'm just looking it up in my mind, and my mind is recommending me clutch control manual car, which I'm thinking is perhaps more in my wheelhouse.
Well, you know, the drop-down menu really sort of represent what you've been Googling in the last. Let's see off Blast Tyrant what the best one is to play. I mean, Mob Goes Wild is like the big hit on that album.
I'm going to listen to Mob Goes Wild.
Okay, yeah. Listen to it. There's great lyrics on Mob Goes
Wild. Just
listen
to it very briefly. Just okay. Uh-huh.
I wasn't anticipating that we wouldn't be able to hear John listening.
No, yeah. It's just John in silence here. He's nodding his head, to be fair. He's biting his lip. His kind of head's trembling a bit, like...
He's having a seizure.
He's smiling.
Yeah, it's very funky.
There's a lot of funk. Funk is a great...
They care about the riff, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, it's all riffs. It's all riffs all the way.
Do you listen to any Frank Zappa or early Queen at all?
No, I find it... Frank Zappa's one of those people who's got such a big discography that I find it difficult to approach.
I'll make you a playlist, but Clutch, Blast Tyrant, goes onto the Moon Underwater Pub Jukebox. Give the sea so the swan will marry and propagate lies. Tough luck for elected officials, the beast you see got 50 eyes. Bring it on home, spread the wealth.
Hello fans of Pub and Pint. I'm Jess Phillips, an MP, and now for the first time, a podcast host. I know that the Moon Underwater is used to sighing for its letters, so I think you'll love my new podcast that's all about writing letters. It's called Yours Sincerely, and in each episode, I invite a guest to celebrate three people that mean the world to them. Someone they love, someone who's no longer around, and someone who doesn't realise how significant a role they've played in their lives. So with that, I'll sign off with Yours Sincerely, Jess Phillips. I hope you get to enjoy an episode of my podcast soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we arrive at Ed Gamble's wild card. And one could argue there are a few wild cards within Ed's choices. So what's your final choice, Ed?
Well, I had a couple of ideas for the wild card, including a sort of sparkling natural wine or a pet gnat. But I'm not going to go with that because I think we'll get more chat out of this. And I'm going to go with, because I couldn't pick draft Guinness because too many people have picked it before. So I'm going with bottles of Guinness Foreign Extra.
Ooh, so is this the super strength one?
This is the super strength Guinness that was designed as super strength so they could export it across the world.
Right.
Because it would keep.
It would keep, exactly, because it was higher alcohol and basically boozy Marmite. I absolutely love this stuff.
Are we talking like we went to the... Because it became very popular in the Caribbean and in Africa, didn't it?
Caribbean and West Africa, yeah. It was huge there, and apparently I'm told, I mean, this was, my dad really loves this stuff as well, and me and my dad have drunk this stuff quite a lot together, apparently, certainly in West Africa, I think it was advertised as almost like a sort of sexual stimulant for men. Like, it was suggested on the posters that it would give you sort of a bit of a bit of pep in your step. And it was very popular there. And I was actually on holiday with my dad, and we ordered a bucket of Guinness for an extra.
Wow.
Or I think it's been called Guinness for an export as well, because they obviously, if you're drinking it here, they've basically exported it and then shipped it back. And we were drinking it at lunch at this pizza place. And I remember, I think I was two bottles in, and that's when I realised, oh, this percentage is higher than normal. And it was in this ice bucket. And I realised the labels just slipped off the bottle, just came straight off because they were, you know, a lot of condensation. They were quite wet. And I stuck the label to my head, and I thought, my dad is going to think this is absolutely hilarious. You know, send me piss, stick this label to my head, it's going to be great. And then I looked up at exactly the same moment as he looked up, and he'd done exactly the same thing.
Oh,
to me.
Oh, that's nice.
We both just sat there with a label on our head, just pissing ourselves laughing. So it genuinely means a lot to me because of that. But it's just delicious as well. And it really, it packs a proper punch. The bottles are quite small, and it's rocket fuel.
Yeah.
I've never had it.
I've never got over that thing of, like, drinking that in a hot country and it being refreshing. I don't know how that works.
But it's that it's malty, and it's, you drink it cold, and it's, yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same thing as drinking, like, a hot tea in some countries. It doesn't quite fit together in your mind, but when you, the flavours work within that sort of, within that climate, yeah.
What would be, for Guinness for an extra, how much is it? It's like 6.5%, is it? 7%?
More, I think it's more, it's over 7, I think, yeah.
What would you want, what would be the ideal thing to eat with that?
I mean, it's still Guinness, you're basically eating that. Like, you don't, it's, you chew it down. but I've had it before in this country when I've been making like a big stew or something. It's quite good in winter with a beef stew.
I think the strength varies depending on where you're getting it, but certainly in the UK, if you get it in the supermarket, it's 7.5% in a bottle. Would you have it chilled?
Yeah, I mean, certainly when I had it in a hot country, it was chilled.
Yeah, yeah. It's a super choice, and I think it completes a really fascinating pub selection of... There's interest wherever you go. Robin, what are your thoughts?
It's a very well-thought-out pub.
It really, really is. And do you think, Ed, this is going to appeal, this selection is going to appeal to the sort of clientele your pub will attract? Is this are many metalheads drinking a J.J. Prum Riesling from 1990? Yeah.
No, this pub is insane. Like, it doesn't make any sense, this pub. So metal pubs, you really want, Trooper, you want lager, cans of Red Stripe are very popular in metal pubs, and then you want, like, something you can do shots with.
The Griffin in Bristol, their thing is like dark ales, getting very dark ales in and things like that. But
they're a bit more curated, aren't they? When I went in there, the guy working, I think his name was John actually. He seemed to really know his stuff and was talking me through all the beers.
I reckon the Nitro Coffee IPA and the Noah's Mill Bourbon are going to be the most popular choices amongst your customers.
I agree, but they'll just stand behind the bar and hoover up all the Prum and Cantonet Brown.
Well, folks, for the first time ever, The Moon Underwater, we are about to leave those of you who are not subscribed to the Patreon for our guest's special bonus choice, which is their dream pub companion. There's been a bit of a shake-up of the Patreon offering here, just to make it so ruddy bloody simple. Before, we had 3 tiers, but now we just have 1. And for £6 a month, you get early access to episodes, membership to the Moon Underwater Social Club, ad-free episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast behind the cellar door, 48-hour ticket pre-sale access for live recordings, and you get entered into a patron's poem raffle, where your name could be forever immortalised in verse. And the poet in question is one Juliet Mike Delta Romeo Oscar Bravo India November Sierra John Robbins.
How do you do phonetic alphabet and then don't know how to say Zadie Smith?
Yeah, it's weirdly sort of there.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon even if I was sort of lost my entire memory, the phonetic alphabet would still be there. So, folks, if you want to hear Ed Gamble's bonus choice, if you want all those other things, especially the bonus podcast, which we really enjoy doing, then head over to moonunderpod.com and sign up to hear who Ed chooses as their dream pub companion. For those of you who are not subscribed to Patreon, we will see you back to find out what Ed is barring and what he's calling his pub. So now we leave in a mystical waft of scent. Well, oh, what a time we had with Ed, picking his dream pub companion. It's a secret.
That's actually my favourite bit of the whole podcast we've recorded. So
it was the best bit. It was the best bit.
Yeah.
And also we had about 10 bottles of wine each while we were doing that. So we're all a little bit tipsy now. But it was a superb selection. And to reiterate, if you want to hear the pub companion, go to Patreon, chuck us £6, and you will be forever blessed by the Lord of your choice.
You're barred.
But now, Ed, the big question rearing its ugly head. What are you barring from your dream pub?
Well, given what we've just talked about on the Patreon-only section, this is going to come as quite a surprise, but it's food.
Right.
Oh, nice. Wow. And what a strange choice.
Don't want a kitchen.
Someone who hosts the most successful food podcast in the history of mankind.
But I want to eat in a restaurant.
Okay. I mean, I 100% agree with you, but I didn't expect that from you. Give me your workings, your thoughts, your feelings.
Okay. So whenever there's food in a pub, it's either terrible food, which makes the pub stink.
Yes.
And ruins the atmosphere.
Yes.
Or if the food's really good, it's not a pub anymore, it's a restaurant.
Can I say amen 3 times?
You may.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah.
Either it smells of batter.
Correct.
Or it smells of someone looking at you going, you better be ordering a meal, mate.
Yeah. I've been some lovely like gastro pubs, places that have turned into Michelin star restaurants but are still claiming to be pubs. But there's an amazing place called the Harwood Arms in Fulham, which is a Michelin star gastropub. But it's all tables. You go in there, all the tables are laid out. And there's maybe 2 stools at the bar where there's 2 very determined regulars sat there,
yeah,
who knew that place before it became the Harwood Arms.
Sorry, hashtag not a pub.
Yeah, not a pub.
Call it what you like, but you can't call it a pub.
But that's what I mean. If you're striving... If you're having something like food, you should be striving to have the best of it. But as soon as you get the best of it, it's not a pub anymore. And if you're just knocking out battered stuff, it makes the pub smell. People are leaving around plates with the half-eaten chips on them. It doesn't feel right. I love a pub snack. Bag of nuts, lovely. Scampi fries, perfect. Even wasabi peas, I'd stray to that. But full meals, it will never be right in a pub.
Well, how do we square this circle? Because I think we would all agree that a wet pub, as they're known, where you can't order meals, is the ideal scenario. However, a lot of pubs are closing down and a lot of pubs are only really making their big money from food. What do you do? Because you want the pub on your road to exist. You maybe don't want it to stink of batter and to have one of those oval sort of oven dishes of, you know, dried on nacho cheese on it when you approach the table. What do you do?
Well, I'm building my dream pub, and that exists in a place where those economics aren't a problem.
And also, I mean, your Riesling, you're probably going to have to charge £300 a bottle, so I would imagine you'll do okay, actually.
Yeah, it should be fine, shouldn't it? As long as we sell one of those a night, I think we'll be okay. I just think the pub for me is always somewhere, if I'm eating out, I'll go to the pub before the meal and after the meal.
Yes.
I want to move location for the meal, and then I want to go back to the pub.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think also what's nice is that this can exist in the correct realm where the economics of running a pub aren't really featuring. We've just got the bliss of walking into a pub where it doesn't stink of nachos, it doesn't stink of cod, and there's not sort of, you know, like sort of paraphernalia everywhere. Half-eaten ketchup bottles.
Yeah, I don't want to see ketchup. I don't want to see ketchup in a pub. I don't want to see crusted ketchup around the rim of a bottle in a pub. I don't want it.
Don't want it. I don't want it. and we're not going to have it because this is your dream.
I'll let us have a Scotch egg of the week or something. You can do a different Scotch egg every week, but
some sandwiches wrapped in cling film.
Not even sandwiches wrapped in cling film.
I think really what you would like to see is one of those little sort of cake plinths with a glass thing, a glass sort of cloche on top, and underneath you've got sausage roll and a Scotch egg.
But the glass cloche, to me, screams cafe.
Okay, a pewter cloche carved into a skull with a snake going in one eye and out of its mouth.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
And there's a Scotch egg underneath it.
Yeah, but no one can see the Scotch egg.
Right, yeah.
But also, with food, coffee machines are banned.
Yes. I don't know if I can ban more than one thing,
but you just remind me with a cloche, it's the sort of place that has one of those big silver coffee machines taking up valuable real estate on the bar where there could be a more choice of spirits.
And also, whenever they have them in decent pubs, if you ask for it, you can see the bar staff going, oh, for fuck. Yeah.
It's 6 p.m. There's got to be a crossover.
6 p.m., mate. Is there any part of the UK that's not inundated with cafes now?
Yeah, we're fine.
Just go to
Costa's
cafe,
open
mate.
Till 7.
Costa's open. Go there.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
Well, Ed, we thank you so much for your time. This has been an epic Moon Underwater, and you've been such a superb guest. Just to remind everyone, so far, Ed has Vault City Brewing, Cloudy Lemonade Session Sour, 4.2%, Michelin Nitro Coffee IPA, 6.6%. His bottles are Margaux Chateau Catenac Brown, 2008, and a JJ Prum 1990 Riesling. He also has Harris Gin, Noah's Mill Bourbon, and his wild card is Guinness Foreign Extra, with a label on the forehead. His pub is black, it is dark, it is grimy. It plays metal music at varying volumes throughout the night, and there is no food and no coffee. So if you want either of those things, go somewhere else, please, because Ed will be listening to Clutch Blast Tyrant at full blast at the bar. But before you go, Ed, we need a name for this superb establishment. What's it going to be called?
Oh, this is the one thing I didn't think about. But I feel like it should be such a metal name that it puts off the majority of people, and quite a long, I like a long name because pub names aren't long enough. Maybe big bucket of blood.
Big, is it really?
It's called the Big Bucket of Blood.
I was going to suggest, and you will know us by the trail of red.
Also good. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Big Bucket of Blood, John.
The Big Bucket. Is it just Big Bucket of Blood, or is it The Big Bucket of Blood?
I feel like there. You need a there in the pub name, right? The Big Bucket of Blood.
It could be a Big Bucket of Blood.
That's something you don't see often enough in pub names, yeah. Is A.
A King's Head.
I would definitely go to A King's Head.
Yeah.
A Rose and A Crown.
Yeah.
A Queen's Arm.
Yeah. Yeah. Singular.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for creating the Big Bucket of Blood with us here today. Sounds worse than it is. We wish you all the best as you take it with you wherever you need it the most. Ed, that's going to be at your doorstep, at your beck and call. Oh, my God. And I must try that Riesling. So thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next week in the Moon Underwater.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.